In a week's time, several heads of states and governments will descend upon the Philippines for the APEC. Its main concern is right there on the meaning of the name. APEC stands for Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation. There are 21 member economies in this group, all seeking the advance of their economy. And here we see how mutual economic interests can bring nations together, even those who are ideologically opposite. Kahit ang mga bansa na magkakaiba ng kanilang ideolohiya at pinaglalaban ay nagkakasama-sama basta ang usapin ay pang-ekonomiya. We see here the power of economic motive, that even foes can be friends if they will advance each other economically. Now, in the Christian faith, economic interest has its place, but under the spotlight of biblical principles. And nowhere are those biblical principles more concentrated than in the last two chapters we are studying in our 2 Corinthians series, that's chapters 8 and 9. And as I have made the observation before, it is very instructive that Paul only feels prudent to address the issue of financial matters after settling the conflict with Corinth. Imagine if the conflict was still hanging and financial issues are raised, the more it will complicate matters. But now, chapter 7, as we have seen, obviously the relationship between Paul and at least the majority of the Corinthians is on the repair. Now Paul opens up one of the intentions of his letter, and that is to press the collection for the churches. Imagine Paul is running the risk of being criticized all the more by his adamant enemies, but he does not restrain, he does not backtrack, but instead, Apostle Paul is pressing on one of the evidences of a truly repaired relationship when love is restored. One of those has to do with giving. And that is the reason why Paul is emphasizing this. And again, let me point out, it is important for me to point this out, especially to our visitors. This is not a dominant subject of this pulpit. If you have been attending this church for any length of time, you should know that. But since we have been doing this exposition of 2 Corinthians, and we come to these two chapters, which are full of biblical principles concerning giving, I am not one to evade the issues that my text is emphasizing. Rather, the challenge here is be disposed to be taught, to be challenged, to be searched even on the matter of giving. Now, Apostle Paul used the model of the Macedonians, the Macedonian churches, that despite their poverty, they gave generously. And Apostle Paul makes the point that giving is a grace. Before anything else, giving is, before it is a duty, before it is an act, first and foremost for Paul, giving is a grace. And nowhere is this demonstrated than in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God's gift. And no greater gift can God give than the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, every act of giving by the Christian should be a response to that grace of God in the gift of Christ. And as he continues the theme of grace, Apostle Paul shows that growing in this particular grace, that is the grace of giving, is no different from growing in all other graces. In other words, when you talk of spiritual growth, you cannot isolate the issue of giving because it is a grace. As you grow in other graces, you must grow in this grace also. Kung ikaw ay lumalago sa ibang mga biyayang Kristiyano, mga katangiang Kristiyano, hindi maaring ihiwalay ang gawain ng pagbibigay sapagkat ito ay biyaya ng Diyos. And the final message we had before the two-week break, Paul appeals to the genuineness of the Corinthians' love and again demonstrates the pattern of Jesus Christ. In other words, genuine love is proved by the evidence of liberal giving. Ang katotohanan ng pag-ibig ay napagtitibay ng maluwag na pagbibigay. And as we continue, I invite you to turn your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and we'll now read verses 10 to 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, concentrating on verses 10 to 12. And in this matter, I give my judgment. This benefits you who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also to desire to do it. So now finish doing it as well, so that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have. For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. So after some spiritual principles that Apostle Paul lays down concerning giving as a grace with other graces, Paul now raises some practical issues in these verses. And the key word here is readiness, kahandaan. Inulit niya ang salitang ito sa iba pang mga talatang sumusunod, which means that to the Apostle Paul, his focus is on the disposition of being ready to give. And how is that readiness to be displayed, demonstrated? It is to be completed, according to him, by the actual giving. And here is my simple message. Readiness to give is completed by performance of giving. Ang kahandaan na magbigay ay ginaganap sa pagkilos ng pagbibigay. Readiness to give is completed by performance of giving. Now, Paul has earlier made a point about completing what the Corinthians have begun. And now he presses it all the more, lalo niyang idinidiin. The very nature of giving, you see, is such that it is only complete when the gift has been given and received. Now, a person may say, I'll give you this much, but if that is not given and that is not received, it has not done its very purpose of saying so. So that is the very nature of giving. Now, one may pray, and the prayer is in itself a service or ministry done for someone else without that person knowing it. But giving is of such a nature that it has not done the service it is intended to do unless it is actually given, unless it is actually received. And Apostle Paul is pressing home this issue. You had that desire before, now finish it. You had that before, that intention, now complete it. And for this completion, Paul presses home two considerations for the Corinthians, and these are the same considerations for us. Dalawang konsiderasyon, dalawang bagay na dapat isaalang-alang. The first is internal preparation. Panloob na paghahanda, internal preparation. And the second is external possession. Panlabas na tinatangkilik, external possession. These are the two considerations in completing what you are ready to do to give. The first is internal preparation. If you consult several translations, there is a division among these translations. Some prefer desire or desiring. Others prefer willing or willingness. But there is actually no difference, as both words rightly represent the Greek word used by Paul. What is common to both, whether desiring or willing, is that they are the internal disposition of a person who is to give. The disposition precedes the act. And that is what Paul expects a giver must have. Ang isang magbibigay ay dapat na merong diwa ng pagbibigay, kahandaan na magbigay. So here we learn that the grace of giving is conceived in desire and willingness of the giver. Ang biyaya ng pagbibigay ay isinisilang sa hangarin at kahandaan, kusang loob ng nagbibigay. Paul commends the Corinthians that they had that desire a year ago. Presumably, this was before the intervening conflict, bago nagkaroon ng alitan sa pagitan nila. Pero alam ni Pablo, meron na silang gayong hangarin isang taon pang nakakaraan. Now that the conflict is settled, Paul wastes no time to remind them of that desire. In other words, Paul is saying and recognizing that they had a good starting point. And that good starting point is that they desired. Now, Paul asks them, now, finish doing them as well. Now, that he asks for the finishing means he recognizes the good beginning. And the good beginning is desiring it. Yung hangarin mo, na ikaw ay magbigay. And I think this is where the issue of giving begins for us. Some have a problem in the performance of giving because they have nothing to start with internally. Hindi sila lumalago sa kanilang pagbibigay sapagkat walang simula sa kalooban. Walang simula sa diwa. There is no desire, no willingness. These are the sort of people whose giving is mostly random response on the spot. Kapag nagra-round na yung offering bag, doon sila bigla mag-iisip, ano bang maibibigay ko? Hindi pwede ganun ang uri ng ating pagbibigay. Not only about giving, all Christian duties are the combination of internal motive and performance in action. And problems in many Christian duties can be traced to the defect either of motive or performance or the combination of the two. And it's interesting when the writer of Hebrews was exhorting the believers in their assembly to maximize the profit, he tells them in Hebrews 10:24, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. How do you maximize the assembly of the saints? You make sure that you stir up two things, motive and performance, love and good works. And the two always go together in any Christian duty. And this becomes very explicit in the grace and duty of giving. It begins with internal disposition. Well, those of us who drive probably know the acronym BLOWBAG. In order to prepare for a long drive, BLOWBAG stands for battery, light, oil, water, brakes, air, gas. And you notice everything here has to do with something of the inside of the car. Not the paint or the externals. And if that is true of a car, this is even more true of the Christian soul. When we have to perform any Christian duty, such as giving, there must be internal preparation. So my challenge to you, it may sound negative, but I will also try to be positive. The challenge is mortify the habit of unthought and unplanned giving. Alisin mo, tanggalin mo ang ugali na pagbibigay na hindi pinag-iisipan, hindi pinagpaplanuhan. Or a more positive way of putting this is practice, thought out, and well-planned giving. Ugaliin mo ang pag-isipan at planuhin ang iyong pagbibigay. Absence of internal preparation is a formula for stingy giving. Kapag walang kahandaang panloob, parang formula yan sa maramot na pagbibigay. I believe that this is something that deserves more of our thinking. Don't we practice now the discipline of thinking about throwing our garbage? Pinag-iisipan na ngayon, pati ang pagtatapo ng basura, kung pinag-iisipan sa basura yan, doesn't giving deserve more? That we think about it, we plan it. And there is no better model for this than God's giving. The greatest act of God's giving is the Lord Jesus Christ, and it took eternity past to plan it out. Ang pinakamayamang kaloob ng Diyos ay ang Panginoong Hesukristo, at ginamit niya ang buong kawalang hanggang nakalipas upang ito'y planuhin. The gospel we preach is not a bright idea from an inspired moment. It is God's plan for eternity. And my friend, if you are considering the Lord Jesus Christ, see in Him what God has planned in eternity past. It's not a gift of the moment. He thought about it. And that is why every time you procrastinate, every time you reject, you are rejecting what took eternity to plan and to conceive. This is God's greatest act. And if it took God that much to give His greatest gift, Surely we can plan ahead and think about our giving. Do you have that desire? Does it yield willingness to give? It is the disposition that prepares the performance. Now again, I remind you, we do not monitor the amount given by the members. And if we do not monitor the amount, much less can we monitor the heart. But it is that heart before any peso is to be given that determines whether you are ready to give. So how do you stand as far as your giving is concerned that perhaps nobody knows? But God knows first your heart and then what you give. I read this week a story about a bank manager who contacted two churches in his area, and he requested that they give all their collections to the bank, and of course the bank will compensate for those collections. And when the treasurers or deacons of the churches asked why, the bank manager said, because we have run out of $1 bills. Which means the reputation of these two churches, people give the minimum of their bills. So they'll surely have $1 bills, and the bank manager needs those. And that's a bad reputation if we are known for what we give as a minimum. But again, we will not know that in this church. We don't take the effort to know. It is between you and God. That's why what matters first is internal preparation. But from internal preparation, what second consideration Paul shows is external possession. Listen to him. Your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have. Mula sa kung anong meron ka. Meron kayo. So from readiness, the key here is out of what you have. The source of the giving expected of the Corinthians and of Christians in general is from their possession. Ang inaasahan lamang na ating ibibigay ay kung anong mayroon tayo. Anong tinatangkilik natin. Now, probably Paul says this because he is concerned that they might misapply, the Corinthians might misapply the example he gave from the Macedonians. And they may begin to have the wrong spirit of outgiving the Macedonians, and that destroys the whole spirit of giving. This is not competition. Paul assures them that it is acceptable to God according to what one has. And the word for acceptable here is more often translated as pleasing. What it is saying is that God is pleased with that attitude to one's possession that is mindful of giving. Kinalulugod ng Diyos ang saloobin sa ating mga tinatangkilik na pinag-iisipan ang maibibigay mula sa ating tinatangkilik. Again, Paul repeats what a person has and not what he does not have. So what do you have? You probably just received your salary or profit from your trade or perhaps a gift. What are the first thoughts that grip your attitude to what you have? Well, I believe primary should be gratitude. You should be grateful for what you have, whether it is in terms of salary or profit or gift. But if truly grateful, mindfulness of what to give should not be far behind in your thinking. But unfortunately, we little realize how much we are flooded with materialistic thoughts from innumerable sources, conscious and unconscious effects of ads from billboards, commercials, online. They come from innumerable sources, bending our thoughts to the materialistic way. And without realizing it, as we savor the pleasure of our possession, we think in materialistic fashion. What's the latest gadget? What fashion can I satisfy for my taste? The antidote to that is to make giving a high priority in thinking about what you receive. And this is what Paul is saying, what you have. Once you have that, what's the place in your mind of giving? Because for Paul, that is what completes the internal disposition. Ang nagkukumpleto ng diwang magbigay ay ang actual na pagbibigay. Which means the challenge to us, make giving a prominent part of the function of your possession, because until it is given, it is not complete. Today, it's 2 years since the strongest typhoon in history has hit the Philippines. Haiyan, internationally known, we know it as Yolanda. And it makes my heart heavy to say this, but after that calamity, the next calamity was known as government relief, if you can call it relief. There was an unprecedented outpouring internationally of concern, help, very concrete help around the world that has not been seen. And what happened to those efforts? Again, it makes my heart heavy to say this. Just after the Yolanda, where was the president? Standing sponsor in a celebrity wedding. Did not even visit the places of tragedy. Instead, he sent someone who is now a candidate for president. And this man worried more about surnames than actual help. When a police official announced that the fatality may reach thousands, he was sacked on the very same day. Obviously, the president did not want to hear it. And then afterwards, Panfilo Lacson was made czar of the relief efforts. And according to him, with little power and with little budget. And after 1 year, he resigned in frustration because with all the possession that is available, there was no completing of the giving. And it became useless. You see the point? If you have the possession, does it find outlet in giving? You know, athletes reject cotton as fabric for their outfit because it is sweat absorbing and that makes clothing heavier. Well, in terms of attitude, it may be that we wear attitudes that are so income absorbing, it makes very difficult to run in the race of service, which includes giving. And that is why we must make giving a prominent part of the function of our possession. The principle of Christian giving is not asking you to go beyond what you have. Some cults will do that. They will tell their followers to sell everything they have and give to their organization. But here, Paul makes it very clear, it is only from what you have, believing that it is what God has given to you, and you return only part of it. Remember the words of David after he was rejected from being the one to oversee the building of the temple. He did not sulk. Rather, he prepared for his son Solomon by raising funds. And once the offerings were taken, David was so amazed at the willingness of the people. This is what he said in 1 Chronicles 29:14. Who am I? And what is my people that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. Do you still maintain that thought? I am giving what I have been given. Part of what I have been given. Living in a materialistic society, we have to mentally fight to retain that consciousness. That all that I have come from you, O Lord. And whatever I give, it is only returning a part of what I have received. And this is being like God if we give. Remember in the Sermon on the Mount of Jesus, how he said becoming like your Father means that just as the Father gives both to the just and the unjust, so must you. He made giving the very explicit way of modeling after God. Also, Jesus has a saying that is not written in the Gospels, but was perpetuated by oral tradition. You know what that saying is? Apostle Paul addressing the elders of Ephesus in Miletus, he said this in Acts 20:35. I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Paul says that this is the words of Jesus. You won't find this in the Gospels. So how did Paul attribute this to Jesus? The only way is this was perpetuated orally. That is, it was passed on and on. This was such a saying that though not written, it has been committed to memory and to catechism, passed on. Better to give than to receive. All of us qualify for the words, what you have. You have something you have that is yours. Of course, there will be degrees of amplitude. Some have more ample possession than others. But the attitude to what you have will be Christian or unchristian to what extent giving is prominent. And Paul says something here that perhaps a hard-nosed businessman is going to challenge. He says, this benefits you. Well, a hard-nosed businessman would say, no way. If something is given away, I put that under expenses, and that cannot be profit. That cannot be revenue. So a hard-nosed businessman will challenge this. How so? When given away, it is no longer our possession. Someone benefits, but not me. Well, that is the world's economics. It makes you think of personal profit that competes with others. But giving as a Christian grace has its profit. Profit that will not register in the account books. Profit that will not be measured in terms of dollars or pesos. But how about a conscience without guilt? A heart that is content. A spirit of gladness for kingdom glory. No account books can ever measure that. A deacon of Charles Spurgeon once visited a widow's house because he wanted to extend help. So he knocked and no one was responding. So he assumed that there's no one inside. He went to church and saw that widow. And he told the widow that he visited the house, but she wasn't there. Well, the widow, embarrassed, admitted, I was there, but I thought it was the rent man claiming the rent of the house, and I had nothing to give. You see the point? Sometimes our attitude to giving is like someone claiming our rent, when actually someone is ready to benefit us. Perhaps not in monetary terms, but the point is that giving is not something we must fear. Giving is not something we should consider a loss or an expense. It is not. It is part of what we give for kingdom glory. So from your heart to your hands, from the starting desire to completion of giving, what do you have? And what is your heart's attitude to what you have? And will you complete it in the actual giving of your hand? Let us sing our last hymn, which recognizes the sovereignty of God over all our possessions and therefore should govern our attitude to whatever we have. Verse 3 says, it is the Lord who gives me all, my wealth, my friends, my ease, and of his bounties may recall whatever part he please. Let's close in prayer. Makila naming Diyos, aming mabuting Ama, nagpapasalamat kami sa hamon ng iyong salita ukol sa pagbibigay at pinapaalala sa amin dito na ang hinihingi ay ang tunay na kahandaan ng aming diwa, kahandaan na gaganapin at kukumplituhin ng totoong pagbibigay. Nawa nga ito ang aming ipanuri sa aming mga sarili. Help us, Lord, to search ourselves whether we have internal preparation, the desire, the willingness. May we mortify the habit of unthought and unplanned giving because that is the formula for stinginess. Instead, help us to practice well-thought-out and well-planned giving, using as our model no less than your giving of your Son, the Lord Jesus, for that giving took eternity past to conceive and plan. We pray for those who have yet to respond to the Lord Jesus in His saving grace, that they may realize what gravity of offense it is to reject or to procrastinate the receiving of your Son when you have given Him from your eternal thought and plan. And help us to model our giving after that gift from above. May we have that preparedness of heart and disposition, and grant, O Lord, that we may be mindful that whatever possession we have, it is out of that we are expected to give to You. May we therefore make it our mental attitude that all that we possess is given by You, whether it is by trade, by salary, whatever it is we use for gaining wealth, intellect, skill, physical strength, all come from You. And out of Your own giving, we give part to You. So we pray that we may have that attitude that makes giving a prominent part of our possession. May we not be gripped by a materialistic attitude. Instead, may we realize what benefits there are in giving, not in the carnal motive of giving so that we may earn more, but giving as a grace that yields a conscience that is clear, a heart that is content, a spirit that is glad in serving for Your kingdom glory. So may we heed the challenge that from readiness we may perform from the heart to the hands. Make us truly givers for the Lord's cause. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.